Good morning. I hope this morning finds you and your family doing well. And it's a privilege to have you worshiping with us as a part of the Waverly Church of Christ this morning. I want to begin by asking you a question. Did you ever have anyone in your life that just hated you? And did they hate you so much that they would do whatever they could to try to hurt you, even to the point of hurting someone you love? I doubt if many of us have ever experienced that kind of hate, but God has. As a matter of fact, He experiences that kind of hate every single day. You see, Satan and his messengers hate God. And not only that, because of their hate for God, they seek to attack God in any and every way that they can. And part of that attack is attacking those who are created in His image. You and I. God created us so that we might bring glory to Him. And in the process of bringing glory to Him, we show forth His image in our lives and in our character. Having said that, Satan hates this, and he seeks to distort and to even destroy that image of God that we bear. In our reading this morning, we encountered a man who Satan has done that very thing to. He has tormented that man, and he has sought to destroy the image of God within that man. He has suffered terribly at Satan's hands, and he can find no relief. That is, until Jesus and his disciples landed on the shore of Galilee, and Jesus healed him. This morning, as we look at this account, which has just been read for you in Luke chapter 8, we will see that Jesus could set this man free from Satan's control in his life, and Jesus is also able to set us free from the power of sin in our own lives. The account that was read this morning was from Luke chapter 8. But it is also found in Matthew's gospel in chapter 8 there as well, and in Mark's gospel in chapter 5. And I'll be working back and forth between each of these gospels. I may not always quote directly from them, but know that if you want to go and look at each of them individually, you will find the things that I may mention. But as we look at the account, I believe that we will find in Jesus that which you and I truly need. It all began with the encounter. Jesus and his disciples have landed on the Sea of Galilee, on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, on the eastern side. You may remember last week that they had encountered a great storm that evening before, and Jesus had calmed the storm. Now they've landed in the region of Gadara, or the Gadarenes, or the Gerasenes, as they're sometimes called. And Luke tells us there of an encounter that Jesus has with what he calls a man possessed with demons. And he begins to describe this man for us. One of the first things that he tells us about this man is that he was naked, or as he put it, he had not put on any clothing for a long time. Not only that, this man was someone who did not live in a house, but in the tombs. In other words, he made his abode with the bones of the dead. And on top of that, he was a man who, as Mark brings out in chapter 5 of his gospel, a man that no one was strong enough to subdue. Oh, they had tried. They had bound him with chains and shackles, but with some kind of human, a superhuman strength, he was able to break the chains, tear them apart, and to crush the shackles. He was also a man that every night the people would constantly hear, both night and day, him crying out as he ran among the tombs and in the mountains. Imagine trying to pillow your head at night and suddenly hearing the screams of a man, and they're constant. So this is the man that we encounter. He literally, we are told, would gash himself, cut himself with stones, perhaps for no other reason than to try to get those demons that were within out of him. Here was a man that was in constant pain. He was wild. He was unkempt. He was ill. And he was someone that no one wanted anything to do with. That is, until Jesus came along. When Jesus and his disciples landed on the shore, we find that this man saw Jesus from the distance, came running up to him and bowed down before him. And then suddenly he said with a loud voice, he cries out to Jesus and he says to him, "What business do we have with each other, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" Now this man had never met Jesus before, but he knew his name and he knew something else about him. He knew he was the Son of the Most High God. It's interesting that the demons within him knew exactly who this was. Not only that, they knew how he felt about them and the power he had over them. That's why we find the next words that are spoken through this man's lips by those demons. It is, "Do not torment me." They knew that Jesus could do that to them. And they said this because Jesus had been saying to them, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit," as Mark records for us in Mark chapter 5, verse 8. And then he asked the man his name, and he responded, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Well, that name, Legion, would have aroused the attention of anybody living in Jesus' day and time because they recognized it. You see, a Roman legion was composed of 6,000 foot soldiers, 120 horsemen, as well as additional support personnel. And to those who would have heard that term, it would have immediately evoked in their minds the thought of great power and force. And in the case of this man, it revealed something about what was going on inside of him. That he was a man who was being tormented constantly by a great host of demons which had taken up residence inside of him, tormenting his soul day and night. You and I can look at this man and feel great sorrow for him, great compassion, because of the way in which Satan is now controlling his life. And yet, even today, Satan does the same with so many. Oh, not in the way that he did with that man, not perhaps in the same manner with these demons that are causing him to do all of these things to himself physically. But nonetheless, Satan controls so many today. And his control is over people that we call fine, upstanding citizens, well-respected perhaps in the community. And yet a closer examination of their lives will reveal a person that is tormented. They're slaves of sin. And they would like to be set free from sin, but the only one who can do that for them is Jesus Christ. Does this describe you? If it does, then let me encourage you to consider Jesus this morning and what he can do in setting you free. And follow with me as we continue through this and see how he helped this tormented man so long ago. Well, these demons within this man are begging Jesus repeatedly not to send them into the abyss, that place that is sometimes referred to as the bottomless pit where Satan himself will at some point be chained. Instead, they saw in the distance, on a mountainside, a herd of swine or pigs, 2,000 according to Mark's account, and they asked to be cast into those pigs or that they might go into them, and Jesus gave them permission. No sooner had he given them permission than suddenly we learn that these pigs began rushing down the hillside. As Luke puts it in verse 33 of his gospel, he says that the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. Imagine seeing that. I've been around pigs growing up. I've seen farms that have had them, but never that many in one place at one time. But imagine that scene on that day. 2,000 pigs rushing headlong toward a cliff and over into the sea and drowning. that man who had been possessed by those demons, suddenly before him saw visual evidence of the fact that he had been set free from his torment. And Jesus, with one word, or just a few words, was able to do something that others around this man had not been able to do with chains and shackles. He had set him free from that which he was experiencing. Now the herdsmen, as you can imagine, seeing what had happened, they took off running. And as we find out, or as we learn from our reading, they ran into the city and into the surrounding countryside, and they began telling everybody what they had witnessed. And the people just had to see for themselves. And so they came out of the city to the place where Jesus and his disciples and this man, this former demon-possessed man, was at. And no doubt what they saw must have surprised them. Because what they saw was a man who was now sitting at the feet of Jesus instead of running through the tombs and across the mountain. Not only that, he was clothed. Instead of being naked, he now had clothes on himself, and he was in his right mind. He could think reasonably, perhaps carry on a conversation. And I'd like to suggest something else to you. I believe that it was probably the first time in a long time since that man had ever been happy. He was happy. Why? Because he was free from Satan's control in his life and the power which the demons wielded over him. And I also dare say that for the first time in a long time, he heard himself laugh. Laughter doeth good like a medicine, Solomon said. But what about the Gerasenes? They too had come out to see what had happened, to examine it for themselves. And having seen all of these things, they suddenly were gripped with fear. Now, Scripture talks about two kinds of fear. One is the type of fear that produces what we might call reverence, awe. It's usually the fear that we are to have toward God, in which we revere Him. But there's another type of fear. It's the fear that brings fright, a fear that is the result of anxiety, and it can grip a person to the point that they do not act in a rational way at times. And what these people asked Jesus to do was to leave them. Why? Here was a man who had just healed someone who had been disturbing their sleep at night, their lives, for some time. He had caused this man who had been cutting himself and running about with no clothes on to suddenly be sane once again and in his right mind. And certainly, if he had done that for this man, he could do that for so many who lived in their area. He could heal those who were sick around them. But they didn't want that. They wanted him to leave. This tells me something. In my mind, what it says to me is that these people were more concerned about their financial loss than they were about the well-being of a once tormented man. Some of the saddest words that you'll read in this entire account are those that come next. And sad even in the Gospels themselves and throughout Scripture because of what takes place. And these are the words that we find in verse 37. He, that is Jesus, got into a boat and returned. He left there that day. And there's no evidence that he ever came back. That is a sad commentary upon a choice made by those folks. And sad in the sense that they lost an opportunity. They drove away the one who could do so much for them. But what about the man who had been healed? As Jesus and his disciples are getting in the boat to go back to the other side, this man is begging Jesus to let him go with them. But Jesus refuses. And listen to what he says. In Luke chapter 8, verse 39, he says, "Return to your house and describe what great things God has done for you." It is true that they told Jesus he could not stay. They wanted him to leave. But this man would be there. And they knew this man. And they knew what he had been and what he had done. And they knew what he was now. They could see it with their own eyes. He would be a constant visual reminder to them of the fact that Jesus had been in their midst and Jesus had healed this man. And this man could tell them this man was the Son of the Most High God. That would be something that would live with them from now on. But Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the same today as he was in the day when he healed that man and even before that. And he is the only one today who can help us with the power of sin that is in control of our lives. As a matter of fact, his presence among us would change our lives. And I believe that perhaps there are those of you whose lives are scarred with sin and would love to be free from the torment of that sin. Are you an individual today who is struggling with foul speech or abusive speech? And do people notice that in you? Are you a person who is struggling with uncontrollable anger? Jesus can help you with that. Perhaps you're an individual who is dishonest. You've lied to members of your family, maybe your spouse or your children, perhaps your coworkers, maybe even those within the church. Jesus can help you with that as well. Perhaps you're struggling with the sin of adultery or fornication or even homosexuality. Those things Jesus can help with too. Or any of the other sins we might find mentioned in Scripture that separate you from God and leave their marks upon you. Christ can set you free. He can change you. But you have to be willing to come to Him, to seek Him with a whole heart, to believe that He is who He professed Himself to be, the Son of the Most High God, and to confess that willingly and openly. And let Him wash away your sins in the waters of baptism so that you can be set free, truly free from the bondage of sin that Satan holds over you. If we can help you with that, we'd like to do so today. And we invite you to contact us here at the Waverly Church of Christ. And we will reach out to you and do all that we can to make this possible in your life. But today, we want to thank you for being with us. And I pray that God's word will accomplish in your life His desire. May He bless and keep you.